Listening Library presents Island of Spies by Sheila Turnage. Read for you by Kristen DiMercurio. For my mother, Vivian Taylor Turnage, a 1940s science kid, and my sister, Allison Turnage, who left us much too soon, and for Rodney, as always. A note to the future if you find this. There's three graves hidden in the heart of Buxton Woods, all three held down with ballast stones painted white. We aren't saying who's resting in those graves and who's not. We aren't saying who dug those graves or who wanted the bodies to never float up and give their secrets away. All we're saying is there's three graves if you know how to find them. If you want to know more, everything's here in this book, which we wrote for Ada Lawson's library. You can read it as soon as Rain finishes drawing the cover. We'll add another book to that library bookshelf, too. A thin book written by a spy, as soon as Neb finishes decoding it. Fact, if you'd asked us dime novel kids 8 months ago if even one mystery strolled our white sand roads or swam our crystal blue sea, we'd have said no. Life on our island moves steady as the breath of the tides, we'd have told you. We would have been wrong. We live on an island of mystery and change, double cross and spies. Alphabetically yours, Neb, Rain, and Stick, the dime novel kids. Hatteras Island, North Carolina, August 30th, 1942. Chapter 1. A Time for Danger. January 12th, 1942. Fact. Change rarely shows up the same way twice. It might stroll up comfortable as old boots and take a seat on the porch, or smile at you from across the room, shiny as a new friend. It might attack from the deep of the sea or the dark of the heart and slam your world hard enough to wobble your stars. No matter how it shows, you can count on this. It never leaves until it's done. It first slipped up on us dime novel kids one lazy Saturday afternoon as, downstairs, the door to the abandoned Hatteras Lighthouse scraped open. My best friends, Neb and Rain, looked up from their work, and I closed my weather journal. Footsteps scuffed across the stone floor below and stopped at the foot of the spiral iron staircase leading to our headquarters in the very top of the lighthouse. Neb snapped his ragged Boy Scout handbook shut and straightened his neckerchief. He's pale as a ghost crab, odd for an island kid. At 12 and a half, he wants to be a man so bad he can taste it. Rain pushed her crayons aside and closed her latest artwork, Portraits of Island Cats, Volume 2. She's only 10, but her shipwreck of a life has matured her beyond her years. They pointed to me, 12-year-old Sarah Stickley Lawson, apprentice scientist and pre-FBI agent, if the FBI ever writes us back. Everybody calls me Stick.
You talk, Rain said. You're a scientist. You're good with the unknown.
Fact, the unknown calls to me like a long-lost friend. The dime novel kids are in, I shouted. Who's down there? Silence. I glanced out the window at our homemade flag, fluttering from our rusty balcony rail. Beyond it stretched sand dunes, Neb's house, and the sparkling blue Atlantic Ocean. The flag means we're in, and everybody knows it.
Could be a lost tourist,
Rain said, pushing her wild halo of sun-bleached curls from her light brown face. She's sturdy, Rain, and graceful as the live oaks along the edge of Buxton Woods. Last year this time, she might have been right about the tourist. But my grandfather, a.k.a. Grand, says with a war coming, tourists are rarer than fish lips here on Hatteras Island. War changes everything. That's what Grand says. It's not changing us. That's what us dimes say. As it turned out, of course, we were dead wrong. Downstairs, something clunked.
Hello below,
Neb called. He turned to me, his dark eyes glistening.
Maybe it's a rich client,
he whispered, and straightened our poster. Dime novel kids for hire. Surveillance, after school preferred. Solving mysteries of all kinds, pre-FBI certified. Fishnet mending. Yard work. Housework. Babysitting. No diapers. We went into business last year. So far, we have 2 cases. First, we're closing in on a thief, Tommy Wilkins. Second, we're trailing postmistress Agnes Wainwright, a possible spy. We self-assigned both cases to get the attention of the FBI and hope to go famous nationwide. While waiting for fame, we do chores for cash. For fun, we stake out my snotty sister, Faye, and her good-looking boyfriend, Reed Connor. They kiss. Something rattled downstairs.
They're touching our fishing gear,
Neb whispered.
Let me,
said Rain, who's practicing using good manners while being assertive. They don't always go together.
Back away from our supplies,
she called, stamping her foot.
State your name now, please.
A voice floated up to us.
It's Otto Wilkins II. Invite me up, seaweed brains.
The hair on my arms rose. Otto Wilkins II. Otto's the meanest boy in 6th grade, and also the best looking. I used to think time would make Otto as shiny inside as he is outside, but that hypothesis has proven false. Fact, Otto's a bully. He hates anything odd, and here on Hatteras Island, we dime novel kids are standout weird. Neb's a fake Boy Scout with a faint polio limp and black hair that spikes up like he bit lightning. Rain draws like the angels kissed her fingertips and lives in the island's oddest house. Her skin's darker than most islanders, a point of interest for Otto and his mother. Me? I'm a fire-haired, freckle-faced scientist in a world of ghost ships and hurricanes. In short, we're walking targets.
Hey, mollusk brains, I'm waiting,
Otto shouted, and someone snickered. Otto's goons.
Jersey and Scrape, wait outside. Now,
Rain bellowed.
Thank you. Otto, stand by.
Otto's goons, who've flunked 6th grade twice, hover around him like flies around stink. Downstairs, the door opened and they shuffled out.
Don't let Otto up here,
Neb said, his voice low.
I want to discuss a paying case,
Otto shouted. Neb's dreamed of a real case since we started reading dime novels 3 years ago. He says once we start landing paying cases, we'll be somebody. He looked at Rain.
Otto may have changed. Let him in.
He hasn't changed, she said. Otto was a rat yesterday, and he'll be a rat tomorrow. I don't want his business. Stick?
I hesitated. On one hand, I trusted Otto as far as I could spit him. On the other hand, science supplies cost money.
I vote yes. We can pump Otto for information on his thieving brother, Tommy.
Rain sighed.
Otto, relax in the lobby until I buzz you up.
You got no lobby, seaweed.
Sit on the bottom step now, please,
she shouted, stomping again. Technically, Otto had a point. We don't actually have a buzzer or a lobby. Here on the island, this year looks like every year. But thanks to the brightly colored dime novels lining our shelf, we know modern even if we've never seen it. My stuck-up sister, Faye, says dime novels are trashy and pointless. We say they're full of clues to life beyond the island. Rain strolled to our Coca-Cola calendar and circled today's date with her red crayon. Monday, January 12th, 1942. She glanced at my sundial and wrote, Meeting, Otto, 4 p.m.
Hide the valuables,
she said, slipping the gold ring she wears on a leather necklace inside her dress. It's a man's ring, engraved with the letter M. So far, the M stands for mystery. She scooped her crayons into a cigar box with Titus and Son General Store written across the top. Titus, a.k.a. Grand, runs the store. Son means Papa, who sails up and down the coast, buying and selling. Faye says Papa stays gone so much, she almost forgets what he looks like. I never do. Neb shot to our bookshelf and slipped his Boy Scout handbook behind the dime novels. I stashed our cash box behind my curio.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?